Psalm 140. I want to talk here about the power of words. We keep on getting this exhortation in the scriptures to watch our tongues, and indeed, we need that constant reminder, don't we? So he says, verse 1, deliver me from the evil man, from the violent man. We expect him to be talking about somebody who's going around sort of kicking heads in. But then verse 2, those who devise mischief in their hearts. So he sees the violent man and the evil man as the one who devises evil in his heart. So there you are. Just as Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, the thought is the action. He may have some particular violent man in view. It could be Saul, it could possibly be Absalom. But whatever, the point is that the parallel is between our thoughts and our actions. And then he takes that further in verse 3, they've sharpened their tongues like a serpent, viper's poison is under their lips. Well, he could, if he's talking about Saul, which I guess is the initial reference here, he could have criticized Saul for a whole load of things, for trying to kill him, and for his generally bloodthirsty, sort of aggressive way of going on. And when you look at the names of Saul's children, it's quite clear that there was idolatry there. This Baal, Baal suffix and prefix keeps on occurring when you look at the names of Saul's children. So I would imagine Saul was involved with idolatry. Of course, David could have maxed out on the fact that Saul was disobedient to the word of God. That's why he was rejected from being king and David was named as his replacement. But he doesn't. He focuses instead on the state of his heart and sharpening his tongue like a serpent. Now, of course, you read about a serpent, you think of Genesis 3:15, and the way that all sin is characterized as the work of the serpent. And yet the tongue of the serpent is the tongue of the person. So he sees aggressive words, which are reflecting, verse 2, the mischief in the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, Jesus said. He sees language and words as the sort of litmus test, really, of spirituality, that bad words, vicious words, these are a reflection of the heart, and this is the man. Now, you know, he very often in the Psalms talks about people's words, and you could argue that David was very sensitive to words, but in fact we all are. He very often in the Psalms laments the hard words of his enemies. You take Psalm 64, he says that men aim their arrows, even bitter words. And he goes on in that psalm to say, and God will shoot arrows at them. So their arrows were their bitter words. Could be referring to Saul and the slander campaign against David. It could be talking about Absalom, as he saw, surely sensed Absalom using bad words and slander to develop his power base for his revolution against David. So he says they've sharpened their tongues. He's seen it all coming. Verse 9, as for the heads of those who surround me, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Well, as I say, he could have focused on any amount of sin in the likes of Saul and Absalom, but instead he says they're going to be destroyed because of their own lips. He sees their words as the parade example of their unspirituality. And you see this likewise with the way God often judges when he's talking about Israel or Judah or Babylon. Or whoever, there's a whole load of things he could list as the reason for their judgment, but he often focuses upon their words. It's so important what we say because the words are a reflection of the human heart. And my son, give me your heart. It is to be spiritually minded, which is of the essence. And it's no good saying, well, I can be spiritually minded, but yeah, I will use hard words. No. And it's also no good saying, well, I will have these hard thoughts against somebody, but I'm smart enough to not actually tell them what I think about them, and those words won't come out. They will come out in the end. And likewise, as we said at the beginning, God counts our thoughts as if they are our words. Finally, in verse 11, the AV says, "Let not an evil speaker be established." Whereas verse 11 in the NEV and other versions says, "An evil tongue won't be established." So an evil tongue is paralleled with an evil speaker. In other words, a man's words are counted as who he is. An evil speaker is an evil tongue. So the tongue is put for the person. You are your words. And likewise with God. The Word was God. God's words reflect Him. They are essentially Him. And so are your words, including the words that you speak in your own self-talk, which of course fills up a fair majority of who a person actually is. So, this really is a warning about language, but I think I would have failed if I'm simply telling you, yeah, look, bite your tongue, control your words. It's not enough. It starts in the heart. Be spiritually minded. And that's why I started in verse 1, seeing the parallel there. Deliver me from the evil man, from him who devises mischief in his heart. The essence of evil, the essence of righteousness, is all in the heart. So how then can you control what your mind thinks about? Well, it is really garbage in, garbage out. You listen to garbage all the time. You listen to pop songs or whatever that are just talking rubbish, that are just wandering around with the very, very empty-headed, if not positively wrong, lyrics and associations. Well, that is what your mind will be full of. Do you really have to have the radio on all the time? Can't you listen to something more spiritual? What are you reading? What are you looking at on screens? Now, these are the things that will influence your heart. And the paramount issue in the Christian walk is to be spiritually minded.